This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, 1 hour down, two to go here on the program. A lot happening. If, in case you missed it, the Florida Panthers took a 2-1 series lead in the Stanley Cup Final over the Edmonton Oilers today, an absolute butt-whipping, 6-1. The cash on that puck line, -1.5, +170, -142 on the game. Game does go over the total of 6.5, where it was a lot of heavy offense for the Florida Panthers, where Marchand opened up the scoring, 18-1 to be the first goal scorer, +280 anytime goal. And then it was just a slew of guys. Bennett +195, Reinhardt +195, Verhaeghe +210, Ekblad +750, Rodriguez +350. The only scorer for the Oilers, Perry at +275. And then the big move following that is we had an odd shift as far as the Conn Smythe Trophy goes. Connor McDavid was your favorite. It is now Sam Bennett. Sam Bennett, who as early as June 1st or as recently as June 1st was 33-1 to win the award. He now +175 because following the goal today, he's got 4 goals in 3 games to begin this final. He's helped that super deep Florida offensive attack make a statement here. And as someone who wanted this thing to go 7, I have concerns about Edmonton and the way things look tonight. We had a ton of fights. We had 15 power plays. We had 140 penalty minutes. It was just chaos in this one. And I think Edmonton's got to look in the mirror, kind of reassess things, and go back to what they do best, which is be a super aggressive team. I thought they lost some of that tonight in the loss, and that's why they ended up in a hole early. It also doesn't help when your goalie, Stuart Skinner, is just letting shots in over his blocker consistently, where he looked like his confidence was shook. And I don't know if they can go to him. I think Pickard will be the goalie for game 4. That's just a guess on my part. But I don't think you can go back to Stuart Skinner. I think we've seen it in the past. Benching him works him. Let him reset. But right now, he's not reliable, and there's way too much on the line for the Edmonton Oilers. You don't want to lose the cup 2 years in a row, but especially not to the same team. And that is where we stand as far as the Stanley Cup Final. We don't have a game in the NBA on Tuesday, unfortunately. We have to wait until Wednesday, where I'm hoping that we get a series, but I have a feeling similar to how we feel tonight about the hockey, we're going to feel about the basketball. Because in Game 3, Oklahoma City is a 5.5-point favorite. Total is 228.5. If you look at the series price, -525 if you want to back the Thunder, +400 on the Indiana Pacers at this point in time, if you like them to make this interesting. I think 5.5 might be too much right now on Indiana at home, where I think that crowd is going to be amped up and definitely play a role in this one, where they're seeing an opportunity. They're 1-1 in this series. They stole one. And that crowd, I think, could allow them to get off to a hot start. I'm always curious about Oklahoma City late in games because their defense creates their offense, the turnovers, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where they turn you over, they get downhill, all of a sudden you're in quicksand, you're looking up and you're drowning and there's no way to get out, there's no light at the end and you're down by 20 points. That's what Oklahoma City does best. Are they going to be able to do that on the road though? With Indiana fired up the way they are? Also, Indiana has some belief. I know they got blown out in Game 2, but they won Game 1 outright and they did it their style. They did it their way with the late comeback. And because of that, I would lean taking the points with Indiana, but I think first half might be the way to go there. The Thunder are a team that just doesn't lose back-to-back games. I mean, that's the big thing here. And part of the reason they're able to do that is it seems to be a different number 2 every night for Oklahoma City. A lot of teams in recent memory, they've had a big 2, they've had a big 3, they had a couple superstars. The Thunder are built different. Everything revolves around one superstar in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Every night, it's someone else who steps up. It could be Jalen Williams in one game. It could be Kayson Wallace in another. It could be Chet Holmgren. And the other night, it was a couple people helping them get over the hump against Indiana, showing off their depth, which was a thing that a strength Indiana had in recent series, especially against the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Final, where their depth showed in games. Their depth is mitigated because Oklahoma City's deeper. Everything Indiana can do, Oklahoma said he can do and do better. And in game two, where they tied it up 1-1, 123-107 final score with the Thunder, Alex Caruso stepped up. He dropped 20 points. Aaron Wiggins off the bench went for 18. They both scored more than any member of the Indiana Pacers. That kind of frames where we're at with this Thunder team. I just think they're too loaded. You shut one guy down, another guy steps up. There's always someone waiting. But that doesn't mean there aren't opportunities to bet on guys from both teams coming up here in game three. I will have two bets on two Thunder players and two bets as far as the Pacers go. But one key in this series has been the coaching matchup. And I don't know if I didn't properly respect Rick Carlisle before this playoff run, but I can tell you this. He to me has been one of the most impressive people in the NBA postseason this year. We could talk players, we could talk GMs, we can talk roster construction, we can talk about individual performances. I think night in and night out, I have been thoroughly impressed by Rick Carlisle's ability to adapt, not just to games, but also to series. When things aren't going right, having adjustments to be made and finding guys to step up in critical spots. They clearly have a plan for late in games when they're trailing. I don't think any of this is by mistake. And a lot of it begins and ends with Rick Carlisle. The question becomes, though, for game three, in a series where I think your depth is somewhat mitigated by the depth that the Thunder offer, is he going to adjust his rotations? Because I think there's a case to be made for Indiana that you're going to need to play your starters more. I want 33, 34 minutes of Pascal Siakam. I want 30 plus minutes of Miles Turner. I think Haliburton, he's at 34, 35 minutes most nights. I want him to be more selfish. I think Tyrese Haliburton has to call his own number. At times, an issue for him is also his strength. He is so selfless. He wants to get everyone involved. I think he's a good guy, a good teammate, and he might be a great player. It's hard to say superstar, right? That's the big debate. I think he's in that in-between really good to really great category, but he's super clutch. He's got that Derek Jeter gene in him where when the ball hits his hands and the final shot needs to be made, I just believe he's going to find a way to sink it. But I'd like to see him be more aggressive. And I think because he's the leader and because the team needs him, I do think he calls his own number. I like him coming up in game three on Wednesday to go over 31.5 points, rebounds, and assists combined. Off a playoff loss during this run, he's dropped 40, 59, 21, and 40. Now the 21, which is obviously under the 31.5 PRA, was a 20-point win over Cleveland in game four. So he's not playing the full game. He's pulled. In games they need where he's going to be playing a lot, and I don't anticipate this being a blowout Indiana's way, I think he's going to clear this number. Over 3 or 4, averaging 40 PRA in that span. And I do believe Carlisle is going to rely on his starters a lot more. The other Pacers prop I don't like, I love. That's Miles Turner. We're going to go over 19.5 points and rebounds combined, minus 130. He's cleared this in both games 1 and 2 with 24 and 20. He's much better at home during the regular season, averaging almost 2 points, two more boards in the regular season. And this postseason, he's shooting 38.9% from beyond the arc at home versus 28.2% away. He's a guy who likes to stay on the perimeter. He's a center who can stroke it. Because of that, coming back home where he knows the sight lines better, he's more comfortable, crowds on his side. I think the Pacers are going to be playing their game more, which involves a lot more three-point shooting. Miles Turner over 19.5 points and rebounds is a play I freaking love. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, cashing out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We've got a lot to get to on the program where I'll be joined by Greg Peterson, 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. We'll get all of his plays as far as Major League Baseball goes. Sean Green's going to check in. I know I just gave you a couple player props from the Indiana Pacers. He texted me earlier. He's got a player on Indiana that he's absolutely all in on for game three coming up on Wednesday. He'll break that down with us coming up in about 50 minutes on the show. And then coming up next, my guy, Chris Ruffalo, the Roof Dog up in Canada. I need to get a temperature. I don't need a temperature in Canada because they're going to give it to me in Celsius. And then I'm going to have to Google what that means in real numbers because you're going to tell me like 37 degrees. Like what? How is it 37 degrees? It's June 9th. It doesn't make any sense to me. But I'll get a temperature on when Canada sits as far as the Stanley Cup final goes because Edmonton's down 2-1 to the Florida Panthers. And we saw two epic games 1 and 2, and we saw a blowout in game 3. Does McDavid have some McMagic maybe some McNuggets. Does he have it up his sleeve as far as game three goes? We'll discuss that coming up next. But first, I got to tell you about our friends over at FirstBet. And by the way, if you weren't using FirstBet over the weekend, you're crazy. We saw an awesome horse race where Sovereignty basically etched its name in history as a horse, winning 2 out of 3 legs of the Kentucky of the Triple Crown, winning the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont Stakes. If you're betting on sports, you got to try the races. FirstBet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks around the U.S. and around the world. All you have to do is sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use the promo code VEASAN200 and you can claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. All you have to do is head to firstbet.com today. I'm Dustin Sweetelson hanging out here for the next couple hours on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Do want to get you a final score because while I was talking NBA, I saw this game ended in Anaheim. The Angels victorious 7-4 over the A's. Wow. So that game's going to go over the total after Yusei Kikuchi was brilliant today. 7 1/3 innings pitched, 1 hit. 0 runs, 5 strikeouts, drops his ERA to 2.92, and the Angels win 7-4. Unfortunately for your boy, we thought Jeffrey Springs was starting. He was used as a bulk reliever, and lefty killer Logan Ohapi was left out of the lineup. We had a player prop on, so that ends up not doing anything. Taylor Ward goes 0-4. We live to fight another day because I do like some Angels stuff coming up in tomorrow's card. Speaking of the Tuesday baseball card, Chris Ruffalo loves to bet on baseball. We'll get his best bets next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're cashing out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back into the show. Dustin Sweetelson hanging out here. A great night to be here. A great time in sports. Wild weekend. And everything's kind of just trickled into the beginning of this week here. Don't let people fool you. They love to tell you outside of football season, there's nothing fun happening in sports. Tell that to the hockey, the basketball, the baseball, over the weekend, the tennis, the horse racing. There's tons of fun stuff out there, and the best part is we can bet on all of it. Thanks for tuning into the show, however you may be, SiriusXM 158, YouTube TV, and of course the VSiN Watch app. We've had a lot of great conversations. The big story, though, has been the Stanley Cup Final. The Florida Panthers, in case you missed it, took a 2-1 series lead over the Edmonton Oilers, 6-1 final score tonight. They cashed minus 142 on the money line, -1.5 at +$1.70. And the game does go over the total at 6.5. An adjusted series price here. The Panthers are minus 260 favorites, plus 215 with the Edmonton Oilers. And to help us understand what all of this means, we're going to go up to Canada, check in with my guy, Chris Ruffalo. You know him from pickdogs.com. Check him out over on X at Ruff the Pick Dog, D-A-W-G. And he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Thanks for doing this as always, man. Before we get into the numbers and all of that, just Canada. Is Canada all the provinces, I got that right, I almost said states, all the provinces, are you all rooting for Edmonton here to bring a cup back to Canada?
I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I'm a diehard Leafs fan. So I'm like, you know, I want the cup to come home, but I was hoping that it was going to be Leafs that were going to do it. But I'm at the point now where, as a Leafs fan, I hate the Florida Panthers. So I wouldn't mind seeing the Edmonton Oilers bring it home. But I'll tell you, after tonight, they're going to have to change a couple things.
Yeah, that was a beatdown. Let's say you're in charge of the Oilers, which means a lot has gone wrong for the Edmonton organization. But nonetheless, you're taking over for game four, Chris. Do you let Stuart Skinner back out there? Because that looked like a dude that was completely shook. Florida, now, to their credit, was super aggressive tonight. Tons of shots on net. Felt like the game was being played in Edmonton's zone for the majority of the contest. But Skinner let a couple easy ones in now in this series. Would you go with him or Pickard?
I'd still stick with him because I think you right now go with the one that brought you to the dance. We've seen Skinner get shaken up earlier in the playoffs. It turned over to Calvin Pickard. Pickard got injured. And then when Skinner had his back up against the wall, he stepped up. And you got to remember, this was a goalie that had, I think, a 3 shutout span over a four-game stretch. He is fully capable of, you know, shutting down some of the best teams in the NHL. It's just a matter of, for me in this series, which team was going to be the first to blink, because you had two, you know, airtight games in the first two games of the series. You had to wonder which team was going to get the blowout first in game one and sort of send a message, fire the first shot. And tonight it was Florida. But again, we can't forget the Edmonton Oilers have kind of been in this position before, like they were last year.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel bad for you guys up there, because somehow the state of Florida has become the hotbed for hockey. What, Tampa has three cups. This would be two for the Panthers. In the time that you guys haven't won, it doesn't compute. If you just think about homegrown talent in the backyard of the organization, there, I don't believe there are any people from the state of Florida in the National Hockey League. Meanwhile, the whole league is Canadian. So you do have that to your credit. What would you do, if anything, when it comes to the spread and the total for game four? Edmonton plus 124, Florida minus 148, and that total 6.5 again.
Well, I'll quickly preface it by saying, if the Florida Panthers win a second cup, they'll have won as many cups as the Leafs have won playoff series in 20 years. But for game four, I think I'm just going to keep rolling with what's brought me to the dance. You know, I've started to key in on, you know, either Edmonton or Florida to win by a goal. Maybe look at the plus 1.5. I understand it is extremely juiced at minus 200. The thing for me, though, in this game is that I honestly do think that overtime could be in the offing. So I would honestly look at the 60-minute line, look at a tie there, because I do think that we could have another, you know, tight game. I do think, though, if I had to play a money line side in this one, I would go with Edmonton, because they can ill afford to go down 3-1 and give Florida three chances to close out this series. I understand, you know, if you're looking for a silver lining with Edmonton, if they go down 3-1, they'll be like, oh, well, you've been there before. Yeah, but you don't want to give the Florida Panthers a second 3-1 series advantage, because they are going to look at what they did last year and be like, we're not doing that again. So I think this is, you know, all hands on deck for Edmonton in game four. They have to have their best effort in the series.
Yeah, I'm going back to the Oilers. I'll take the plus price. I do believe these teams are pretty much a coin flip. I was wrong tonight. I think I'll be right. I think the market will be a little too reactionary to what happened tonight. I'll go back to Edmonton. I may be wrong, but I'm going to feel good about that plus price. We'll see how that goes. Chris Ruffalo is our guest, pickdogs.com, at Ruff the Pick Dog over on X. And you're always betting baseball, and we've got a couple ones coming up late tomorrow that you have your eye on. It's the San Francisco Giants, minus 230 favorites, on the road at the Colorado Rockies, who are plus $1.85, and that total's 11.5. What jumps out to you with those numbers?
Honestly, the under jumps out at me. Under 11.5. One of my favorite sort of anti plays, you know, angles that I like to go against is just, I like to fade people who just blindly take the over because the game is at Coors Field. I need to remind people that the Colorado Rockies at times of the season haven't been able to hit their way out of a wet paper bag. A lot of times they've been the weakest lineup in baseball. The San Francisco Giants have been a lot less reliable against left-handed pitching. Carson Palmquist, he was weak in his first Coors Field start, but I think he gets an advantageous matchup here against a Giants team that, like I said, I don't really trust offensively. The Rockies, I definitely don't trust offensively, regardless of who's on the mound. And you have two bullpens that in the last week have sub three ERAs. So for me, I just think this, I think 11.5 is just too high. I got to roll with the under in this one.
And then I think we're going to be on the same side here in Arizona, where, by the way, the Diamondbacks tonight are one out away from closing out Seattle, it looks like. 4-0 is the score, runner on second for the Mariners. And I'll let you know who's brought in as soon as I can see who's running in from the bullpen. But tomorrow they'll play the second game of this series. It's Brian Wu on the hill for Seattle, minus 115. Brandon Pfaadt, who has been absolutely awful, minus 105. Not even a plus price on him. Total's 8.5. What are you going to do with this?
I'm rolling with the Mariners here. Whether you take first five or money line, it's your call. But for me, like you said, Dustin, Brandon Pfaadt has been fade material for me for the last couple starts, going back to that 8-run debacle and without recording it out against the Washington Nationals. Last time, I think he gave up 6 runs. I believe it was against the Atlanta Braves. I'm not 100% sure. I can't recall, but he's been getting lit up. And while the Seattle Mariners offense at times can be hit or miss, there's one thing you can say is that they do have some quality pitchers in that rotation. And Brian Wu, for me, might be the best of the bunch. You know, he's just been pitching out of his mind. He's a quality start machine. I think he can get the run support that he needs in this game. It's got to come from somebody other than Cal Raleigh. But I do think that the Mariners can find a way to get the job done here. So at a near coin flip price with a significant starting pitching edge, I got to roll with the Mariners.
Yeah, I agree, Chris. I think this is one of those situations where we bet it now. We're going to wake up in the morning and the Mariners might be a $1.30, $1.35 favorite. I can't imagine people are looking to back Brandon Pfaadt. He allowed 5 earned runs in 3 innings against Atlanta. You were right on Thursday. Prior to that, against the Nats, 8 earned, didn't make it out of the first inning. Before that, at least 3 earned runs in 6 innings of work in 3 straight starts. He's having an awful season. He is absolutely fade city. And then finally, want to get your thoughts. NBA Finals Game 3 coming up on Wednesday, where Oklahoma City is a favorite on the road at Indiana, laying 5.5 right now. Totals 228.5. Just any general thoughts on that game?
Yeah, for me, coming into this series, the one point that I always made was that the magic number was 110. OKC, 110 points or less. When they've allowed 110 or less, they're 11-0. All 5 losses, they've given up 111+, including the loss in this series to the Pacers. Indiana, 13-0 when they've scored at least 110. 0-5 when they've scored under that. But they're also 0-3 in game threes. Yet 4-0 against the spread off a loss in the playoffs. For me, which version shows up in game three? Well, Indiana's second in the NBA among playoff teams in scoring at home. They're putting up 118.4 points per game. OKC, their defensive rating slips to 8th out of 16 when it comes to playing on the road. They're allowing 114 points per 100 possessions. They're 9th in road net rating. They're being outscored by 6.2 points per 100 compared to outscoring teams by 21.6 at home. I think that concerns me for OKC. Would not be surprised if the Pacers stole game three here.
I love that. I lean plus 5.5 with Indiana. May become an official play soon. He's Chris Ruffalo. You can find him over at pickdogs.com. Of course, the daily NHL wraparound on their YouTube channel and on X at Ruff, the pick dog, D-A-W-G. Find him over there. Chris, thanks for doing this, man. I'm sure we'll do it again soon.
Justin, I will always have be on when you have me. Appreciate you sending me the invite for tonight, and best of luck to everyone.
And we're all rooting for Canada. We want to see Canada win a cup. And if you are rooting to see where the money's going, you got to get the VSiN betting splits. It's a weird transition. I think it worked. Maybe I shouldn't have acknowledged it. We're already too deep into this. Unlike other sources, our betting splits come from Circa and DraftKings. You can see where the sharp action is. DraftKings is a national book. Circa takes sharp action. So you can see 2 different perspectives on each game being played each night. You can get the VSiN betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe. On the other side of the break, a little 3-up, 3-down. And is it dangerous or a donation when it comes to this future bet? It's cashing out.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out here at Circa in downtown Las Vegas. Want to make you aware, College World Series odds are out. They're here at Circa. I'll have more on them later as part of our VSiN morning bets, but there's some interesting numbers out there, and I like the wide variety of teams that we have going to Omaha. Of course, tune in for all the coverage here on VSiN as follow the money moves, all the crews, Derek Stevens from Circa, all going out there to do jello shots. And remember, if you're out there and you see JVT, he's willing to do body shots. Just tap him on the shoulder, said, I'd like to take you up on your offer and do a body shot out of your belly button. That's where we stand there. Thanks for listening to the show. Unless that made you turn the dial, JVT's belly button. How deep is your love? How deep is his belly button? That's the question we all want to know. I don't know if anyone wants the answer, but that's the question I have right now, and I can't get it out of my head. A lot to get to on the show. We'll do more in the NBA Finals because there's a couple player props on the Thunder that jumped out to me when I saw the numbers released. They may be on the move between now and Wednesday. We'll give those out later. Also, more on the baseball card. We'll go mano-a-mano because when we're looking at these player props, specifically for hitters, I want to know who does well against a certain handed pitcher, whether it's righty-lefty matchup with the splits, or it's just historical. If they just see the ball well off of one pitcher or one team, and we'll dive through the numbers and see if there aren't some props we can look at as far as Tuesday's card goes. Full disclosure, I'll probably tell you someone's worth betting with a home run prop. And in order for you to win it, I need to not bet it. That's kind of how it goes. I can hit total bases. I can hit runs, hits, runs, and RBI props. I can't hit a home run prop if I actually bet it. But if I just say I like it, odds are it's going to happen. Maybe some of these guys we're going to talk about here. Maybe some of them could be worth either fading, following, backing, or some of these hitters have a chance to do something interesting on Tuesday in Major League Baseball. Let's get into it. It's three up, three down. We'll look at three pitchers who are going on Tuesday that are on the upward, three that are on the downward, and same goes for the hitters. It's a real brain buster. Just bear with me here. Let's start with the three up pitchers, where this is interesting. We're going to start off with a pitcher who's been awesome, but I think is a fade candidate for Tuesday. Noah Cameron and the Kansas City Royals are hosting the New York Yankees. His last four starts, he's been dynamic. 25 innings pitched, four quality starts over those last four, a 107 ERA, a 0.75 whip. But here's the problem, people. He doesn't miss a lot of bats. Just 16 strikeouts for our guy, Noah Cameron. And he's taken on a New York Yankees lineup that we'll touch more on with Mano y Mano. They kill lefties. They've done it for a while. They have a few guys who have monster numbers, including Paul Goldschmidt, who's hitting over 470 against southpaws this year. You look at what Noah Cameron's done this season. He's faced St. Louis a couple times, Cincinnati, Minnesota. This is a different type of fight here. It's a different breed when it comes to the New York Yankees and that offense this year. And I'd even mention Aaron Judge and his ridiculous numbers chasing 400 as we approach the middle of June. Noah Cameron, part of three up, but I think he's a guy I'm looking to fade. And I think the Yankees team total tomorrow may be the way to do that, over 4.5 at -143 or over 5.5 at +$1.15. Next one up here, three up, three down on cashing out VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Ryan Pepiot. Ryan Pepiot was a key piece of the Tyler Glasnow trade coming from the Dodgers organization over to Tampa, and he's been a really good fit. He continues to get better. Over his last five starts, the righties had 31 and two-thirds innings pitched, five quality starts, and a 2.27 ERA, 26 strikeouts in that span, and a 0.88 whip. He's taken on the Red Sox and Lucas Giolito, where I'm surprised. He is the favorite, but it's not as big as I expected. -115 if you want to back the Rays and Pepiot. -105 on Boston. Totals 9.5. I like Pepiot tomorrow. I'm going to be on the Rays. I know they played an extra innings game today, but I do think Pepiot is significantly the better pitcher in this matchup. Giolito, off the surgery in the offseason, he's gotten knocked around some. And the Rays won today 10-8 and 11. The bats have been good for them. They've had Caminero heating up. Brandon Lau has been a revelation of late. So I like that offense for Tampa Bay. I think they have the pitching edge. I'd look to back Pepiot, who's been hot. And then the last pitcher as part of three up is Mackenzie Gore. People got to start paying attention to this young Nats squad. They've been really feisty. They've been an interesting team to watch night in and night out. And Mackenzie Gore has been a big part of that. Over his last five starts, the Southpaws got 29 and a third innings pitched, three quality starts, a 2.15 ERA, and 40 strikeouts in that span. And that's what we need to look tomorrow as he takes on the New York Mets. Right now, New York Mets with Griffin Canning on the bump are a -164 favorite, +$1.34 when it comes to the Nats and Gore, total 7.5. But Mackenzie Gore's K prop, 6.5 at even money. Go back and look what this guy's done over his last 6 starts. He's cleared that number. At least 7 strikeouts in all of them. Taking on the Cubs in his last start, 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 7 strikeouts. I think he can go over this, and I like the even money price here. He's been red hot. I think he continues to stay hot on the road in Queens. Let's hit our three down pitchers here. Guys who have not been going well. And we just touched on this momentarily with Chris Ruffolo in the last segment. Brandon Pfaadt and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Pfaadt has been terrible of late. You can't back him any which way. I honestly would wait a few starts to even think about backing the Diamondbacks in his starts. Right now, taking on Brian Wu and the Mariners in Arizona on Tuesday. -119 on Seattle. So that's moved since we talked last segment. It was 115. And then -102 with Pfaadt and the Diamondbacks. He's going to close at a plus price, and I wouldn't touch it. Totals 8.5. Brandon Pfaadt last five starts has 11.09 ERA. He has just 10 strikeouts and 18.2 innings pitched. And that's 18.2 innings pitched over five starts. That is brutal. You cannot back Brandon Pfaadt any which way possible. Next one up in three up, three down, we're going to look at San Diego, where we don't have odds yet tomorrow on the Padres and Dodgers because they're still playing right now, tied up at sixes in the 10th. But they're going to throw Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease is such a weird pitcher. He racks up the strikeouts, but he has games where he's just off. And over his last five starts, he hasn't been horrible like Brandon Pfaadt, but he's not been good. 28 and a third innings pitched, 4.45 ERA, just two quality starts in that span. He gets the strikeouts. The problem is when you bet on a guy like Cease who cannot have it in any game, is if you bet his K prop, he could get knocked out early and not come close to it. Now, he's also capable of clearing it in like the second or third inning. So there's always that end of the spectrum. And I wouldn't look to back Dylan Cease in a spot against the Dodgers lineup that's putting up runs against everybody. He's not an economic pitcher. He tends to walk guys, and he tends to get squared up with his fastball despite it being really fast. And then the last one here, I think it speaks volumes that Sandy Alcantara is coming off his best start of the season. I feel bad because he's a former Cy Young Award winner. He's a guy who was old school for a while where he would pitch deep into games in an era where guys get taken out really early, but he's clearly not right first year off the Tommy John. Last five starts, a 7.27 ERA in 27 innings pitched, one quality start. It was against the Rockies last time on Tuesday, six innings, four hits, two earned, four strikeouts for Alcantara, but that speaks volumes. Right? His only good start of the year is coming against the worst team in baseball and historically one of the worst teams we've ever seen. Sandy Alcantara is a guy for the Miami Marlins I just can't bet on anytime. I don't believe he's going tomorrow. There's no pitcher listed for Miami. They're taking on Mitch Keller. I think Mitch Keller and the Pirates are very live tomorrow. And whenever Sandy Alcantara goes, he is fade city. He's getting squared up. He's getting hit by everyone. I know you see the name value and you think it's Sandy Alcantara. Well, it's not. It's not. And we're going to continue to roll on three up, three down as far as hitters go into the next segment. I'll drop one here on you for three up because I need to know, am I being dangerous here or is this just a donation to the sports book? Cal Raleigh over his last 14 days, he's hitting 349. He's 15 of 43, nine ding dongs, 18 ribbies, two steals. He's got a 14-17 OPS. Over his last 162, he's third in home runs, fourth in ribbies. He's third in barrel rate, fifth in F war. And he's on pace this year for 64 homers and 133 RBI. That would be the best offensive season we've ever seen for a catcher in Major League Baseball. And you look at the awards market, Aaron Judge is like minus 3,000 to win it. You can get 15 to 1 on Cal Raleigh. And we have this debate all the time in sports. Tweet me at Dustin Sweetelson which side you come down on. Most valuable player. Is it the best player? Or is it the most valuable player? Because Aaron Judge is having a historic season. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve the award, but is it worth the flyer at 15 to 1 to back Cal Raleigh, who potentially could go 64 homers, 130 ribbies, and you look at the Mariners lineup, you take him out of Seattle's offense, they're one of the worst offenses in baseball. And they're already one of the worst offenses in baseball with him, and he's putting up historic numbers. Aaron Judge, take him out of the lineup. What are the Yankees? I don't know if they're a playoff team, but I know they're a lot closer than Seattle is. So if we're going to talk value and we can make this a conversation and Aaron Judge maybe gets hurt, is 15 to 1 dangerous or a donation? You tell me at VSiN Live at Dustin Sweetelson. More three up, three down as far as hitters go. And a guy in the NL, can I convince you, dangerous or donation? Next on Cashing Out.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, it's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Still got live action in Major League Baseball right now in San Diego. The Dodgers up 8-6 in the 10th, still at the plate on the Padres. Two out, Mookie Betts is at the dish. But we have to update you on a developing situation because last I mentioned it a couple segments ago, the Diamondbacks were an hour away from putting away the Mariners 4-0. And just like that, we're tied up 4-4 and we're going to extras. All of a sudden, it's 4-4, where Seattle's actually favored now, minus 137, Diamondbacks plus 105, because a meltdown from the Arizona bullpen, which has been kind of a thing that's happened over the last few years, a lot to them. They have not had consistent bullpen arms at times. And Seattle drops 4 in the ninth to tie things up, send it to extras. Dominic Canzone with a 2-run home run. He came in as a pinch hitter a couple innings ago in the game. Donovan Solano came in as a pinch hitter, also drove in a run. And their infield prospect, Colby Young, drove in a run for them today. And just like that, they've tied it up and we're going to extras in Arizona. As someone sweating out a Pavin Smith over 1.5 total bases prop, would love to see us get there after we cash Corbin Carroll over 2.5 hits, runs, and RBI, and Josh Naylor over 1.5 total bases. Let's go 3-0 on the game. I'd like to see that. If I was going to bet anything right now, I would take that plus 105 with the Diamondbacks. Now, the problem I see is they've used a lot of arms. Because Merrill Kelly went 6 innings, and then Backus and Thompson combined for 1. Shelby Miller tossed an inning. Martinez gave you 2/3 of an inning but allowed a run. Brigham couldn't get an out. He allowed 3. And now Murillo just closed out the inning. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They've used 6 relievers already. And it hasn't been much better for Seattle. Emerson Hancock went 5 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. And then Bizzardo and Spire came in to combine on an inning. Legumina gave you 2, and then Munoz, the closer, just came in for 1. I wonder if they would go back to Munoz again here in the 10th with that ghost runner on. I think they would, and that's maybe why they're favored in the market. But I think Arizona would be the play just because I trust their lineup more. There's so many more hitters for Arizona that make sense to me. That can come through for them. Whereas Seattle's at the dish now. They'll begin with the heart of their order and Polanco up. But Polanco's not a real cleanup hitter for most teams. He's got Cal Raleigh on second base, who's not a speedster by any means. His nickname's Big Dumper. And it's not because of activities in the bathroom. It's because of that caboose he's got on him. So he's not scoring on anything hit softly here. So let's see how things shake out. But I would look at Arizona in this spot because even if they allow a run here with that runner on second, I do think the Diamondbacks offense is good enough to get to Seattle, especially if Munoz is stretched out to have to throw another inning. I don't know how sharp he's going to be following a rest. It's not something closers in today's baseball normally do. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll keep you updated on the two baseball games as things shake out. Thanks for listening, wherever you may be, SiriusXM 158, the VSiN Watch app, and of course, YouTube TV. We're going through 3 up, 3 down. We did our pitchers. We did 1 hitter in Cal Raleigh, who I'd like to know if you think he's worth a flyer 15-1 as far as AL MVP goes. It's tough to fade Judge. It's a historic season. But at the same time, Judge is a guy who's gotten hurt in the past. And I think there's a narrative that can be created where Raleigh is not far off from him. The batting average won't be there, but if he hits 60 bombs as a catcher, 130 ribbies like he's on pace for, there's a conversation to be had. And if you have 15-1 on Raleigh and the number shortens up on Judge late in the season, you can find a way to lock in a profit there. That's the big thing for me with futures. It's not always about the future hitting. It's about if you have such a big price and the market shifts and adjusts, is there an opportunity to monetize the ticket? That's what you're looking to do. 15-1 feels a little bit long on a guy who I think is having a historic season. Let's continue with the 3 up, 3 down here as we move over to another guy who's a long shot for MVP, and that's Pete Alonso of the New York Mets. Over his last 2 weeks, he's hitting .340. He's got 7 bombs, 21 ribbies, 11 runs, and a .1228 OPS. The thing about Alonso that jumps out to me is we want to talk about the struggles of Juan Soto this season, and he's picked it up of late. But Pete Alonso's been the biggest beneficiary of having Juan Soto in that lineup. He's getting better pitches to hit, just like Soto got hitting in a lineup with Aaron Judge. He's no longer the main focus. Pete Alonso's benefiting from that. And over the last 2 weeks, the power numbers are there. He opened around 40-1 for National League MVP. He adjusted very quickly after a scorching start to the season. Came back down to earth, but it looks like he's heating up again. He has an opt-out in his contract, and I think that's important to note. I like betting on guys who are betting on themselves because if he has a crazy season with crazy numbers, he's going to want to test that market again and show that he's still got the power bat. He's around 30-1 for NL MVP. Is it a donation, or am I being dangerous here? Do we like Pete Alonso? If somehow Shohei Ohtani doesn't win MVP, if he gets hurt, that takes him out of pitching and hitting. A lot has to go wrong. I totally understand that. But this would be a pure fade of Ohtani's health. And then that market opening completely up for a guy like Pete Alonso. And then lastly, I just think this is worth noting on a day in, day out basis. As far as the Cincinnati Reds lineup goes, they activated Christian Encarnacion-Strand, the first baseman, off the IL this week, or last week, I should say. And over his first 7 days back, he's been tremendous. 7-for-13, 3 homers, 6 ribbies, 3 runs, and 1,800 OPS. Now, that's prior to today's game. I can get you what he did earlier today. But he's a guy who was a super hyped prospect with legit power. And he's shown it at times, has dealt with injuries at other times, but I believe in the power. And I also believe playing in that ballpark in Cincinnati at Great American Ballpark, it's an opportunity for a guy like him to knock line drives out all over the place. The Reds put up 7 runs tonight. Let me see what Encarnacion, he went 1-for-4, any homer, any, I'm sorry, ribby, 12th ribby of the year. Looking in the wrong section. 12th ribby of the year for Encarnacion Strand. He continues to mash. I don't know if he could do anything with it. There's nothing in the futures market, but it's more about night in and night out realizing how good the Cincinnati offense is capable of being, and more importantly, player props, because there's going to be opportunities to back him, total bases, hits, runs, RBI, and things of that nature. Every morning, wake up with the VSiN Daily Morning Bets. You want to get a head start on your day, want to know where the money's going, what the top stories are. We got you covered every single day. It's just 15 minutes, and you'll get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves, all before your morning coffee's gone. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Bets podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, or check it out on the VSiN Watch app. The sharpest way to start betting is the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast. All right, that was 3 up-hitters. Let me run through the 3 down-hitters. Now, I should note, a couple of these guys played earlier today, so the numbers have not been adjusted as this research was done this morning. Kyle Tucker last 2 weeks has been awful. We talk about guys in a contract year. Cubs trade for him. He's eligible to be a free agent. Got off to a great start. Things have stalled a bit of late. I expect him to pick back up. He's been very consistent. But over the last 2 weeks, hitting .273 with 3 ribbies, 2 steals, 4 runs, and a .783 OPS. It's not the worst OPS, but it's, you expect more out of a guy like Kyle Tucker. He did homer today, so perhaps he's heading in the right direction and in the right matchup, especially with righties who can't blow it by him and that wind's blowing out at Wrigley. He is a guy I'd look to back down the road, but as of now, I'm taking a wait-and-see approach as far as Kyle Tucker goes. Fernando Tatis over his last 2 weeks is part of our 3 down-hitters. He's hitting .167 with a homer, a ribby, and a .509 OPS. He's 1-for-3 so far today against the Dodgers, and the Padres do trail the Dodgers still 8-7 in the 10th inning. They are at the plate. And Tatis' guy's just been scuffling. And if they're going to do what they want to do in San Diego, which is contend for a World Series, he's a big part of it. He's a big part of that lineup. He's a lot of energy for them. And I'm sure this is just a stint where he's not seeing the ball well. He'll get right at some point, but I'm not touching him right now as far as player props go. And then the last one is really disappointing because this is a lineup that's been awful. However, for most of the season, you could say in Texas, Corey Seager's been a stabilizing force. Yet, that hasn't been the case over the last 2 weeks. He's 2-for-34. No homers, no ribbies, no runs, and a 2.7 OPS. I'd rather have a 0 OPS than a 2.17 OPS. Big picture, though, the Rangers' offense. Last 6 games, they're hitting .204, .579 OPS with 17 runs scored. Somehow, the only guy who's really hitting for them is Marcus Semien. Seager was the guy carrying them. They need him to go back to who he was a couple weeks ago because this offense is nothing without his power production from the shortstop position. By the way, the Mariners with a couple runners on get out of it. They'll now head to the bottom of the 10th, tied up 4-4, where a single can win this thing for the Diamondbacks. We like them -137 at the start of the segment. They're now -455. Things you love to see. I'll take 400, Alex. Coming up next, we're going to dive back into the NBA Finals. Who is Sean Green looking to back for the Indiana Pacers from a prop perspective? He'll break it down next on Cashing Out. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.